Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
You know, we can love to worship and yet still not understand the heart of God's purpose for us. We can love to pray and still not understand. We can love for God to use us. We can even love our ministries and still not understand. What really is the heart of God's purpose for each one of us? What does he long for more than anything else? He doesn't actually long for our worship and our prayer and our service and our ministries. There's something far deeper, much greater that is beyond that, that he really longs for. And that he has made possible. Because God wouldn't long for anything in our lives without making it possible. And throughout the three and a half years that Jesus spent with the disciples, I don't think they were in a place with him for Jesus to be able to reveal to them what the Father really desired more than anything else. And I think probably when they heard Jesus speaking at the Last Supper, they were probably not only filled with grief, but overwhelmed by many of the things that he was saying, including making clear to them what the Father's desire really was and what it still is. They probably, as they listened to Jesus, thought, how on earth can this be? How on earth can God make this possible? What am I speaking about? Well, first Jesus said to the disciples, I have loved you in exactly the same way that the Father has loved me. Now, if we're going to understand God's purpose, we've got to take hold of that truth first of all. God, the Father, loves you. In the same way that he loved Jesus. And Jesus loves you in exactly the same way that the Father loved him. There is no difference between the way the Father loved Jesus and the way he loved you. There's no difference between the way that Jesus loved the Father then he loves you. Absolutely no difference. I have loved you in exactly the same way that my Father loves me. So continue in my love. Continue to live in precisely the same love that the Father has for the Son, for Jesus. Then a little later on, Jesus says, the Father himself loves you because you have believed who I am, the one that he has sent. And then when he prays, during John 17, Jesus prays this: I will live in them as you live in me. Yes, I want them to come to a place of being completely united in faith and love, to demonstrate that the world to the world that you sent me, and that you have loved them in the same way that you have loved me. This is what the world is to see. Then he said, I have revealed the truth about you to them, and I will continue to make you known to them, so that the same love you have for me may be in them. You see, God doesn't want you to love worship, to love prayer, to love serving, to love being used, to love your ministry. The Father's purpose is for you to love Jesus. To love Jesus in exactly the same way that the Father loves him. Of course, if you love Jesus, you will love to worship, you will love to pray, you will love to serve, you will love to be used. You will love whatever ministry God gives you, but none of those things will be your focus. None of those things will be what you're aiming at. Your aim, your deepest heart desire is to love Jesus as the Father loves Jesus. To have the Father's love for the Son. And what Jesus was promising the disciples at the same time that he was talking about this love was the gift of the Holy Spirit. And Paul was to say later that God has poured his love, the love that he has for the Son, into our hearts. Jesus knew that this had to be the heart of God's purpose for these disciples in the future, if they were to fulfill the will that God had for them. And this is why he says, if you love me with that same love that the Father has for me, then you will obey my commands, just as I obey his commands, because I have that great love for him. He knew that the essence of fulfilling the will of God, the purpose of God, of living obediently to his will and purpose, had to be this love for him. Now, if I was to ask you, do you love Jesus, you would all say yes, and perhaps mean a whole variety of different things by that. But what God is concerned about is not that we have a love for Jesus, but we have the Father's love for Jesus. That we love him in the same way that the Father did. Because that's the love that he has poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And you remember during the resurrection appearances, when he asked Peter those three questions, which, as I've told you before, was not Jesus restoring Peter because he denied him three times. It's got nothing to do with that. But he was actually saying to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me with God's love? With the Father's love. And Peter was saying, Lord, you know that I love you with my human love. It's a play on words in the Greek. And he asked him again, Simon, son of John, do you love me with God's love? And he said, Lord, you know I love you with my human love. As if to say, you know, what more could you expect? So then Jesus came down to his level and he said, Simon, son of John, do you love me with your human love? This really upset Peter. Because he knew that Jesus knew that he loved him with his human love. And he'd already just said twice, Lord, I love you with my human love. What's going on here? Jesus was really saying to Peter, you know, to love me with your human love is not going to be enough to be able to fulfill my purpose once I have returned to heaven. You will need to love me with God's love. You will need to have the Father's love for the Son if you're going to fulfill the destiny that I have for you. Of course, Peter would have heard that, but probably didn't understand it until the Spirit came upon him on the day of Pentecost. Then he would have understood, as would all the other disciples, what needs to motivate us to be able to pursue the purpose of God and to fulfill his plan for our lives. What is going to enable the extension of the kingdom and the building up of the church is going to be having the Father's love for Jesus. Nothing less than that will do. You've heard me say many times that when you see genuine revival, the essence of revival is not all the prayer that goes on, and it's not the number of people getting saved, it's not the signs and wonders, the miracles and the healings that take place. All those things are there in abundance. But you've heard me say again and again that when people live in that genuine love, genuine revival, the mark of that is this amazing love that comes into their lives. It's that love that motivates the prayer. It's that love that enables them to have the impact on the world. Father, may they be one. May they be one in that love, that the world will know that you have sent me and that you have loved them even as you have loved me. Jesus knew it's this love that is really going to impact the world. When people see among God's children the Father's love for the Son, that is what is going to impact the world, the city, the nation, the nations. Jesus knew that. Jesus prayed for that. And Jesus was making clear to them, just to have a love for me is not enough. If you're really going to see the purposes of God fulfilled, you have to have the Father's love for the Son. And of course, that's more than just receiving that love, because that love comes as a gift from the Holy Spirit. But it's expressing that love. It's living that love. It's seeing the Father's love for the Son outworked in our lives. And you see, it's incredibly difficult to express in words what that love really means. What it's like, if you like, to describe it. It can only be known, like so many things in the Christian life. You have to know that love and experience. And just because God has poured his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit does not mean that we know the Father's love for the Son and live in the Father's love for the Son in the way that God intends. You see, this love is so great. Paul struggles to describe it. Oh, in 1 Corinthians 13, he can say love is this and this and this, and it's not this and it's not that. He's struggling really to be able to put into words the immensity of this love. He can say this love is so great, it's so high, so deep, so broad, so long. You can't know this love in all its fullness. You can't measure this love. It's just so immense. It's just so great. And John says we can only love in this kind of way, with this kind of love, if we know the immensity of his love for us. This love is so great that it overwhelms you. It just totally, totally, totally overwhelms you. You cannot understand how a God who is so pure, so holy, so righteous in all his ways could ever love you with such love, and could even impart such love to you. Indescribable, totally overwhelming. And you see, this is why there's a common witness all the way through the New Testament in different ways to God's desire for us to know this love and to interact with him in this bond of love. This is why in the Epistle to Hebrews, you see where we're being bidden by God to draw near. To draw near to the throne of grace. Grace is simply one of the outworkings of God's love. John could say in the opening of his gospel that from his fullness we received grace upon grace, one act of grace after another. But he could say that because, you see, what he was saying is from the fullness of his love. From the fullness of who he is, and he is love, from the fullness of that love, we receive grace upon grace, one act of grace after another. God has lavished his grace upon us. We were seeing in 1 John last week, God has lavished his grace upon us that we should be called the children of God, and that is what we are. Paul talks about the way that God lavishes his grace upon us. Whether you talk about lavishing grace, lavishing love, you're actually, in essence, talking about the same thing. But you see, it's this lavish language. Because the love of God is just so immense and is so great. This is the love for you and for me that sent Jesus to the cross. What you always have to remember about the cross is that Jesus died first and foremost for the Father. It was the will of the Father for him to give his life in love for us. So, of course, he died for us, but he died for us in obedience to the will of the Father. It was the plan of the Father. It was the reason that the Father had sent him. As John explains, God loved the world and so sent his Son that we might not be condemned but have eternal life. So in his love for the Father, Jesus laid down his life for us. And this is why when he's talking to the disciples at the Last Supper, he's saying, well, if you have my love in you, then you will lay down your life for one another. And John picks this up in his first letter. And he says, you know, if God so loved us, then that's the way we are to love one another. If he laid down his life for us, then we are to lay down our lives for one another. And you see, that's just one of the outworkings of this amazing love that God wants to pour into our hearts. What this means in experience is that every day of our lives, we need to draw upon that love more and more. As we live in a relationship of love. You know, I've been around the Christian ministry scene for over 50 years, as you know, but I see how many people want to make a name for themselves. They want position, they want recognition. They get upset if they don't think that God's using them in the way that they feel they ought to be used or recognized in the way they ought to be recognized. And whenever I see these attitudes, it makes me sad. Because you see, the one who really knew the Father's love more than any of us came as a servant. He wasn't looking for recognition. If he wanted recognition, he would have come proclaiming, I'm the Son of God, right from the start. He wanted people to come to know who he was. But you see, what he wanted to do was to establish relationships of love. And one of the things that, of course, he had to contend with is he knew that a lot of people followed him because of the miracles and the healings. Just like, you know, have a healing meeting today and you'll have a crowd, have a holiness meeting and you can count the number of people that are there. Because people will always think they love someone, including Jesus, including God, if they can get something out of it as a result. In a very small way, I can understand that. All the way through my ministry, people have related to me because not of who I am, because most of them didn't know who I am, but because of the way God was using me. Even the people surrounding me here in Kingdom Faith would relate to me because of my ministry, because what I did in relation to them, or whatever authority they thought that I had in relation to them. But very few of them have ever loved me. Very few. They've respected me. They've sought to relate to me in the right way. My wife says to me, "You have no friends." I know exactly what she means. And actually, it's true. There's a lot of people that relate to me because of who I am or what I've been over the years and what ministry I have. I say to her, "I haven't had time for friends." And in one sense, that's true. But I'm only mentioning this not because I want your pity or anything like that. This is not a pity party. But because, you see, I understand exactly what Jesus was getting at. I don't want you to love me just because of the salvation that I've given you. I don't want you to love me just because I answer your prayer or because I can heal you or because I work miracles. I want you to love me for myself. I want you just to love me. Even if I did nothing for you, I still wanted you to love me. I can understand that. You know, even in the team, when I stopped leading Kingdom Faith, all the people in the team started to relate to me in a different way than when I was. And I saw them, the way they related to me, then relating to Pastor Clive. It's amazing how we don't realize that the way in which we relate to people depends to a great extent on what we think we're going to get out of the relationship. There are those selfish motives which we probably don't recognize. And I believe, you see, that what Jesus is really saying to these disciples is, I want you to love me in a selfless way. You know that the whole of John's gospel is a revelation of the relationship that the Father has with the Son and then the relationship that the disciples are to have with the Son. And you see that there is this selfless relationship between the Father and the Son. Jesus was completely selfless in the way that he loved the Father. He wouldn't do anything in independence of the Father, wouldn't say anything unless the Father gave the words to him to say. It was this, I want to glorify you in everything I do and in everything I say. I know I'm not here for my glory. You've sent me on earth to glorify you, and I want to glorify you in everything. And it wasn't, you see, until he was facing the cross and praying on that night, before he went to the cross, he said, "Now, Father, glorify your Son." But even then, you see, that wasn't the end of the prayer, that I might glorify you. Still, he just wants to glorify the Father by whatever is going to take place. And you see this wonderful love that the Father has for the Son, because Jesus was just responding to the way he knew the Father loved him. Even to the point of knowing that he could become sin and not be condemned, but would be raised and restored to fellowship with the Father. You see, what God was judging on the cross was not sinners, but sin. Jesus had to become sin, and so separated from his Father, and endure 3 hours of darkness where he was crying out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" He had to experience that in his love for us and in obedience to the Father. I believe it's knowing that was at the heart of the agony in the Garden of Gethsemane. "Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me." I don't think it was just the physical pain of crucifixion, terrible though that must have been, but it was this having to face becoming sin, taking all sin upon himself and bearing the punishment that would bring us peace, and having to suffer that desolation, that dereliction, that complete separation from his Father that he had never known. But you see, such love for God inspires such trust in God. And so he could go through the cross, be laid on a tomb, stone dead. And know that the Father would raise him up. He knew it. And he knew all that would follow as a result of that. This immense love can be dangerous. Because for Jesus, it took him to such obedience. But this love was so compelling that he couldn't refuse it, he couldn't deny it. And when he's writing in 2 Corinthians, Paul talks about the love of Christ compels us. When you know that love, it is so compelling, it is so motivating that actually it doesn't matter what it costs to see the outworking of that love. You would do that without even regarding it as cost. Because the desire, the need that you feel to love God is so much greater than any care or concern for yourself. It's selfless love. and yet a love that has to be expressed through the soul, through the self-life. It's not enough just to have that love. It has to be expressed and outworked in our lives. If you think back over what God has been doing amongst us here in the last few weeks and months, you remember that he got us to focus just on that name, Jesus. Just on him. Can you see what he was moving us towards? There's times when we were just praying one word, Jesus. Jesus. He became the cry of your heart. Jesus. God was just sort of gently moving you towards what we're talking about this morning. Everything focused on Jesus. Remember what he's taught us, that to pray in the name of Jesus is not to pray your own words and say, in the name of Jesus, amen, at the end. That's what man has made it, or taken it to mean. But it's really praying as Jesus prays, praying what Jesus would pray, praying for the glory of his name, that he will be glorified in the outworking of his will and purpose. I know it's difficult to get out of these things, and they've been a habit for years and years. But we need to understand God doesn't work by formulas. And you can hear people pray all kinds of crazy things and say in the name of Jesus at the end so that everybody knows it's time to say amen, but you don't want to say amen to some of the things they pray. And you remember that the Lord was showing us Jesus is the amen. We're not the amen. Jesus is the amen. He is the amen. When we truly pray in his name, he is the amen. He says, amen. It shall be so. Because you have prayed what I wanted you to pray, what I led you to pray, what I gave you to pray. All comes out of, you see, this relationship with Jesus, this love for Jesus. So he's gently, step by step, been pointing us in this direction. A few days ago, I'm just sort of reluctant really to share this with you, but I believe the Holy Spirit has prompted me to do so. A few days ago, as I was praying, in the middle of the night as usual, God gave me this vision of myself. I don't think I've ever had a vision quite like this before. And it was a bit strange, really, because what I saw was that I was walking out of the sea. I hadn't been bathing. I was fully clothed. And I was walking out of the sea, absolutely dripping wet. from head to foot, as of course you would in such circumstances. I was just dripping wet. And you know, sometimes you see things like this in the spirit and you're saying, okay, Lord, what are you saying? And at first I understood that God was talking about fresh anointing. Because the clothes that I was wearing were sort of glistening, they were shining, not like a light, but you know, usually when you come out, your clothes are all sort of drab if they're wet. But it wasn't like that. It was as if they were glistening. So I thought, okay, God, you're talking about fresh anointing. And I've been encountering the Lord more and more in His love in these last few weeks. And then, I don't know, 2 or 3 days later, He said, no. You are to drip from head to foot with My love. Because My love reflects the light that comes from above. Now, you know, things like that, encouraging. But you know, okay, this is what now has to be outworked. It's not a question of, oh, thank you, Lord, such a mighty, wonderful revelation. Because I've been around long enough to know every time God does something like that, it's going to be because it's going to be necessary for what you're going to have to do or to face or what is going to happen in the future. He's equipping you for what is going to be. It's not a thing that you can just add to your CV, your spiritual CV, and say, oh, I had this wonderful experience. You say, no, okay, Lord, okay. And I've been around long enough to be wise enough not to ask the Lord why, because the why will make itself evident all too soon. But you see, this is it. What God wants, not just for me, but for every one of us, is to be dripping wet from head to foot with this love. This means more to Him than anything else. Because then we will love one another as He has loved us. Then there will be the unity amongst us. Then the world will believe. Then the world will see that God loves us just as He loved Jesus. The world will see it. And you think, okay, you receive a revelation like that, a vision like that. What does it do? I'll tell you what it does to you. It breaks you. It just breaks you into tiny little pieces. That's what it feels like. You just feel utterly, utterly broken before God. Totally broken. Knowing that just everything depends upon Him. Upon His mercy and upon His grace. Draw near to the throne of grace with confidence, and there you will receive mercy and find grace to help you in your time of need. You know, when we have to face sin in our lives, there's a kind of a breaking process that goes on. Breaking us of the self-love or whatever it is that has led to the consequence of that sin. I think we're all familiar with that kind of brokenness. But I've found in the past, not just now recently, but in the past, that the deeper work of brokenness that goes on in our lives is not as the consequence of repentance of our sins, but because of the revelation of God's love. That love is just so, so immense. So immense. You see, God wants to lift you up. God wants to raise you up. There are plenty of people that want to raise themselves up. As I said earlier, they want to be recognized, they want their ministries, and boom, boom, all the rest of it. But actually, God wants to raise you up. Who does he raise up? He raises up the humble. Jesus was raised up above his companions. We read in Hebrews chapter 1. But what was it that raised Jesus up above his companions? It was the joy that was in his life, but why was there that joy? Because he loved righteousness and hated sin. And in this whole process that God had been taking me through, he said, Colin, I've got to do in you something that I've never done in all the years, even though you've known movements of my holiness and revival and so on. And you know, when God sort of speaks like, I think, oh, what's coming now? And he said, you have loved righteousness, but you've never hated sin like I hate sin. And he said, Christians know that sin is wrong. But knowing that sin is wrong and knowing that they have to repent of their sins is not the same as hating sin. And hatred of sin only comes out of love of righteousness. And love of righteousness only comes out of knowing my love. And he said, the reason why I can't give this hatred of sin to all my children is because I knew that if they had that hatred for sin, they would hate sinners. And you see, I hate sin, but I love sinners. So I am careful about how I do this work in the lives of my children. I want them to hate sin so they will not touch it. And they will not want it to touch any area of their lives. But I want them to love and not judge those who do not hate sin, who actually love sin and indulge in sin. I want you still to love them and to reach them with the gospel. I know what God's talking about. Don't you? If we hated sin like he hates sin, we'd be like Jesus and we'd never touch it and it would never touch us. So, I'm laying out my stall this morning, or the Lord's stall. And I believe that by the end of this term, we're going to be in a different place with God than we are now. And I believe that what he's saying to us this morning is at the heart of what he's going to do. That we'll never hate sin by fighting sin, or even by repenting of sin, but only by loving Jesus, by only having the Father's love for the Son. Not just turning away from sin because we know it's wrong, but wanting to be such a pure and holy people that we will not want anything impure or unholy to touch us. Boy, that's saying a lot. It's saying an immense thing, but only God can do that. I've known a move of God, as you know, where I can't say that we lived in perfection. I could never say that. But I do know that for a period of at least 10 months, we lost all desire to sin. And I can remember that during that period, I don't think I or any of us could have conceived of allowing sin back into our lives. At that time, that just seemed totally, totally inconceivable. But we did. Starts in little ways and little compromises without you even realizing. And I found myself at one point amazed. I was amazed in the wrong way. I was amazed, Lord, how can I have known you in your holiness in such a way and yet still allow areas of sin to come into my life? I was amazed, and I, for years and years and years, I couldn't understand myself, except to know that that could only have happened because God could perceive still something in me that he needed to do that he didn't even do during that period. And then you see recently when he started talking to me about this hatred of sin, he said, Colin, that was the thing that was missing then. You didn't want any sin in your life, but you still didn't hate sin like I hate sin. And all this began a few days ago when God, the beginning of my prayer time, said, Colin, I'm going to do something in you that you never expected me to do. I'm going to teach you to hate. And then, of course, he explained, to love me, to love righteousness, but to hate sin in all its forms. I don't know that I'm there yet. But I know things have not changed in the last few days in my life. And I'm only sharing this stuff with you because, you see, I know that whatever God does in me is not for me, it's for him, first and foremost, but so that then he can impact the lives of others. So, beloved, there it is. I've been saying to God all morning, Lord, how on earth can I express all this? I wasn't expecting to be so personal about it, I must confess. I wasn't expecting that at all, but my life is not my own, so there you go. So I just hope, trust, that your heart has been open enough to receive what God is saying and to say, my life, Lord, is to be lived to love Jesus with all my heart, all my soul, all my mind, and all my strength. And I know, Lord, that if I love Jesus with your love, everything else will follow. So shall we stand and just come out of the limitations of our rows of chairs? Just want you to focus on Jesus. I think all we can do this morning, beloved, is just express the longing and desires of our hearts. I just trust that God is creating a deeper longing for him, deeper desire to know him, to know this love, a greater longing to be closer to him in this love. Don't look at yourself. Perhaps to see yourself dripping wet from head to foot because you've been abiding in the love of Jesus. Why did I see myself emerging from the sea? Because his love is so vast, it could only be represented by the sea. Not by a stream or a river or a lake. His love is so immense. The sea is the only thing that could represent him. God wants you to be dripping wet from head to foot with the love the Father has for the Son. Can you thank him that he's called you and set you apart for that? Oh, it's going to have so many practical ramifications. In your worship, in your prayer, in your witness, in the fruit that you bear in your life. But don't worry about all that now. Just focus. Focus on Jesus himself. Everything else will follow as a result. Hallelujah. Just pour out your heart. Don't stand there silent. Silence doesn't accomplish anything. Pour out your heart, Lord. I want the Father's love for the Son to be expressed in my life. I want to love Jesus like you love Jesus. I want to see your will, your word fulfilled in my life. Father, I want your love for Jesus, not just my human love. I thank you, Lord, for the love that you've already given me for Jesus. I thank you for the way that love has increased in these last weeks as we've been calling upon your name. But Lord, I want to love Jesus like you love Jesus. I want the Father's love for Jesus. I want to love righteousness. I want to hate sin. I want to be in that place, Lord, where love, that love is the guiding principle of my life. I want to know that love, Lord. I want to know that love. I want to know that love far more fully than I know that love now. I want to experience that love. I want to live in that love. I want to be walking in that love. I want that love to be expressed in my life. Oh, Father, 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 Father. Father, Father, just take me to a totally different level. Take me, Lord. Raise me up. Raise me up out of wherever I am now into this higher place of just abiding in your love, of knowing your love, of being filled to overflowing with your love. I thank you, Jesus. I praise you, Lord. I bless you. I bless you. I bless you. I bless you. Papa rasandaria letuba kalasandaria letuba. Ho rasandaria letuba kalasandaria letuba kalasandima. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. You've been saying, this is the time. This is your time for us to know your love in a measure beyond anything that we've known before. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, just call upon the Lord to pour that love afresh into your heart by the Holy Spirit. It has to come through His grace, through His mercy, through His grace. And Lord, we just stand before you today conscious of the inadequacy of our love. Conscious, Lord, of how much compromise there is in our lives, really, when it comes to our loving response to your will and purpose. But we thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Oh, Lord, 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 Lord. We thank you for the purifying power of the blood. We thank you, Lord, that you wash and cleanse our hearts from every impurity, from every love of sin, from every love of things that you do not love. We thank you, Lord, for the purifying fire of your Holy Spirit in our lives. Lord, let that fire just burn through our lives. Let that blood purify our hearts afresh. Take out of us, Lord, every stain of sin, every piece of contamination, that, Lord, we would be pure and spotless in your sight, washed in the precious blood of Jesus, purified by the refining fire of your Spirit. Oh, do that work in us, Lord. Do that work in each one of us. Do that work in each one of us, Lord. Para sandaria letu bakala sandama. Basandaria letu bakala sandaria letu bakala sandama. Oh, papara sadabaria letu bakala sandama. Basadabaria letu bakala sandama. Let us love you for yourself, Lord, not for what we get out of you, not for the ways in which you can use us. Let us just love you for yourself. Let us love you for yourself, Lord. Love you for yourself. Love you for yourself. Just love you because we love you. Just like you love us because you love us. You loved us before ever we did anything, before ever we respond. While we were still sinners, you loved us because you loved us for ourselves. And Lord, we want to love you for yourself. Just for yourself, Lord. Just because of who you are, we want to love you because we love you. Not because we love to worship or we love to pray or we love to be spiritual or we love to be used. We just want to love you for yourself. Papara sandaria letu bakala sito di sandum. Basandaria letu bakala sandaria letu bakala sito di sandara mazundam. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Come on, pour out your heart to me. Take hold of that love. Hallelujah. From his fullness, grace upon grace. Grace upon grace this morning. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Lord, I want to be dripping wet with your love. I want the glory of the light of your glory to shine out of that love. Father, 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 just give me your love for Jesus. Your love for Jesus. Not my love, but your love for Jesus. Holy Spirit. Fill me afresh with that love. Immerse me in that love. Infuse my whole being with that love. Spirit, soul, and body even. Come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Remain, abide, continue to live in my love. The Father himself loves you because you have loved me. And have believed who I am. I have revealed the truth about you to them, and I will continue to make you known to them so that the same love you have for me will be in them. That's Jesus' prayer for you, for me, for all of us. Jesus' prayer. That the same love you have for me will be in them. I want to see the fulfillment of that prayer. Lord, I want to see the fulfillment of that prayer. That the same love that you have for Jesus may be in me. In all my weakness and frailty, but the Father's love for the Son in me. I pray that, Lord. I want that, Lord. I yield myself to you in whatever way is necessary, wholeheartedly. The Father's love for the Son may be in me. Pray for all my brothers and sisters here, Lord. Thank you. This is a word not just for me, it's a word for all your children everywhere. It's what you prayed for all those who would come to know you. So thank you, Lord, it's your prayer for every one of us in this room. The Father's love for the Son might be in each one of us. To love him with your love. To love him as you loved him. It's amazing, Lord, that you should even want this. But I praise you, I bless you. I thank you, Jesus. Lord, we want to love one another as you have loved us. Help us, Lord, to love one another, to love people for themselves, and not just for what we can get out of the relationship. Help us, Lord, teach us, Lord, to love in selfless ways. To love in selfless ways. To learn what it is to lay down our lives for our friends. Because we love them in selfless ways. Come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. Popara sandalia leto bakala sandalia leto bakala santum. Oh, Lord, to have selfless love for you. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. I thank your holy name. I bless your holy name. Paratabari aleto bagalasandari aleto bagalasinuma. Bazandari aleto bagalasidari sandari aleto bagalasandama sandama. O paparazandari aleto bagalasidari sandari aleto masundama. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. I praise you, I praise you, I praise you. Papara Zandari, Leto Pagala Zandari, Leto Pagala Zanduma. Oh, Papara Zandari, Leto Pagala Zinuma. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to go on the heights. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I praise you, Lord. I praise you. I praise you. I praise you. I praise you. Pora tambaria leto bakala sandaria leno. Vazandaria leto bakala siduri sandaria leto bakala sandaria. Thank you, Lord. It has pleased you to give us all things in Christ, that we have such a rich inheritance, that you have blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. But Lord, we don't want to relate to you just because of the blessings. We want to relate to you because of who you are. Hallelujah. But we praise you. We thank you for all the blessings, for all the riches of our inheritance as co-heirs with Christ. We thank you, Lord, that you have enriched our lives in such wonderful ways, despite, Lord, the inadequacy of our love for you, really. You've still been so merciful, so gracious. You've poured so much of your love into our lives. You've demonstrated your mercy and grace in so many wonderful ways. And all we can do is praise you. But Lord, we thank you. You want to take us into another level. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, praise you, praise you, Jesus. Praise you, praise you, praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Come on, let's just really open our mouths and praise God and rejoice in him and thank him. Oh, papara sandaria, lero bakala sandaria, lero bakala sidama. Oh, papara sarabaria, lero bakala sandaria, lero bakala. Oh, papara sandaria, lero bakala sidama. Oh, papara zandaria, leto bakala zidam. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, what God has been doing this morning, it's not about having an experience of him or having an experience of his love. It's about God birthing something in our hearts. A fresh desire for him. And to really pray that the Father's love for the Son will be expressed in our lives. Along the way, you may experience God's love, a fresh impartation of love, but it's not about experiences, it's about God working that in our hearts. I find the experiences come when you least expect them, when you're not looking for them. God suddenly, boom, oh, thank you. And you realize that's the answer to the longing of your heart. But he's got to create the longing in our hearts first. He creates the hunger, then he satisfies it. He makes us thirsty for more of him, and then he satisfies the thirst. Are you thirsty for more of him? Are you hungry for more of Jesus? Hallelujah. Yes. Come on, let's just finish with a great burst of praise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus! Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Amen. We're on a journey. Take another step forward in the journey today. But our focus is not revival. Remember what God taught us from the first week of term. Our focus is Jesus. If our focus is Jesus, revival happens. But the focus is Jesus. The prayer is for Jesus. Amen. Amen. Lord, I just pray that I've done what you wanted me to do this morning. You know, I don't find times like this easy, but I just pray that I've been faithful and that you're just birthing something in us that is going to bring us through to a new place in you. And I give you all the glory. Thank you, Lord, you're going to increase the quality of our love for you and the quality of our love for one another. We thank you that love already exists, but Lord, it's going to deepen, it's going to intensify, it's going to be more wholesome than it is now. And we just give you all the glory in the wonderful name of Jesus.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.